For the bed is shorter that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in. Debares, dis altyd 'n voorreg om die woord van die Here te bedien. I enjoy serving hier's 'n Afrikaans ding hier vanaand, man. I enjoy serving the word of presenting the word of the Lord to the people. I've been doing it for decades, and I've preached over half of the world to crowds of 3,000 at a time, and sometimes to crowds of 3 and 4 at a time. But I thank God for every soul that is seated here tonight, and it's my prayer that the Spirit of the Lord will give you your portion here tonight, that you will go out here with something from the Lord, and that you will realize that God is on the throne, and that your names are all engraved in the palms of his hands. Not one of you is left out. You know, I'm going to start with a story of a customer that I had for many years. I think he was 25 years, a client of mine. But he was a wild guy, and he swore a lot. So much so, he used to use the name of the Lord in vain. So one day, it was at a hotel in New Johannesburg. Jan Smuts Holiday Inn was the place. And he was swearing like that. I said, listen, come here, and he kantoor in. And I closed the door to his office, not my office. And I said, listen, I just want to tell you something. The Bible says that if you use the name of the Lord in vain, God will surely punish you. And his eyes went big. He said, really? I said, yeah, really. He knows I serve the Lord. And you know, he stopped using the name of the Lord in vain. And years later, God is a big God, you know. At one stage, I just said, ach, Lord, I give up with this guy. He will never come right. Never. And one day I was in Umhlanga Rocks, and I'm riding there, and the Lord said to me, phone this guy. I can mention his name because he's passed away now. So his name was AB. He said, phone AB. And I phoned, and he didn't answer. The Lord said, phone again. I phoned him again, and he still didn't answer. And the Lord said, phone again. Don't stop. And I phoned a third time. And then he answered the phone, but I could hear he was in a terrible state. I said, AB, wat gaan aan? And he worked in Umhlanga. He said, when I called, he was dangling on the edge of a rope. He'd already hung his dog to see how long it takes to die, this poor guy. And I said, why are you doing this? He said, no, I was busy losing consciousness, and something said to me, answer the phone. So somehow he got loose, and he answered it, and he said, no, he couldn't pay his rent, and he's just finished now, you know. I said, no, man, I said, I will help you. I'm coming to fetch you now. And after, I'm for you to say, 15 minutes after he tried to hang himself, we were sitting in a restaurant eating steak. And the rope marks were around his neck like this. You know, he went with me to church, and he gave his heart to the Lord. Hy het waarlik tot bekering gekom. And and die man, and this is where I'm getting to, he stood up and he testified. And he said, but he was rough, you know. He was like you call a rough diamond. He was rough, man. And he stood up and he said, brothers and sisters, he said, I just want to tell you, I slept the other night, he said, but I couldn't sleep. My bed was troubling me. So I got up and I checked my pillow. He said, I went back to bed and it just wouldn't work. I couldn't sleep. So I got up and I checked my blankets. He said, after that, he said, I still couldn't. He said, I got up and I checked my mattress. This is now, it was his first testimony in the church ever in his life. I checked my mattress. He said, and I went back to bed and I still couldn't sleep. He said, you know what? And then something said to me, check your heart. He said, so I checked my heart. And he said, then I started sleeping much better. So praise the Lord, you know. It's a wonderful thing. You know, I knew him for about 30 years. He was my client, I think, for 25 years. And, but he gave his heart to God, and he's now passed on, you know. But I thank God for his goodness. Now, I'm going to read to you some scriptures in Isaiah chapter 28. Some of the scriptures are pretty rough, but I've highlighted the rough ones, and I'm going to go through them first. Then I'm going to go through the other ones, and you'll understand what I'm getting to. Chapter 28, verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one. which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. Now, yeah, God is actually speaking against the drunkards of Ephraim. And he's actually almost threatening them, you know. And, you know, God is a good and gentle God, but yeah, he's not happy, you know. And he was threatening these people. And it says that the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. If you go down to verse 6, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they have also erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine, they are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision, they stumble in judgment. You can see God has a cause with these people. And you'll see in this chapter, as I go through the scriptures, it actually led to the place of where they ended up. And I'm not talking about your physical bed at home. A spiritual bed where the bed is too short and the blanket is too narrow. Now, if you have ever slept on a short bed where your feet stick over the edge, has anybody done that? It's the worst feeling in the world. I don't know how you feel, but I feel so vulnerable, you know. And I feel that every rat or cockroach or spider that crawls past or see these toes and just come past and give it an almighty bite, you know. I always feel vulnerable when my feet hang over the edge of a mattress. Thank God I've got an extra length mattress. And if you are covered with a sheet or a blanket or a duvet and it's not big enough, you know, in my travels to preach the gospel, I had to go and stay at the pastor's houses and sleeping in their children's beds. Now, the child is like 6. If I turn over, I'm falling off the floor. I went to speech in Swaziland the one year. This guy puts me on a bed. I don't know what it was made out of, but yeah, in the middle of the night, the bed broke in half. And I said to him when I got, I said, "Bruer, is this thing going to hold me?" He says, "No, it's fine." So he puts me on a bed that was the small. And the bed broke in half. The whole house, all the pastors, everybody was upstairs next to my bed, and I'm lying on the floor with my feet in the air and my head. So, the bed is the small. And I've laid on a bed. If you lie on your side, you have to be so careful, because if you turn like a man turns, you know, you draai om, jy sal afval. And the one kant as jy draai, dan jy teen die muur vas. You know, and it's not funny, you know, the blankets are terrible. I've slept in beds already preaching the gospel. You wake up in the morning and you say, "Oh my God, not another night in this bed, please." So, you know, spiritually speaking, the bed is too short and the blanket is too narrow. It speaks of discomfort. It speaks of a narrow place. It speaks of things that are not working out. You know, die ding werk nie. Hy meet en pas. Jy probeer, you try your best, but it just doesn't fit. You know? And then the Lord carries on here and he says, for precept, listen to this, for precept must, I'll explain it, upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, for the stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to the people. And you know, like this year he's speaking about how the people are going into a place where they have no idea who God actually is. They're going to a place when the priests and them are saying, "This is the law, this is the law, this is the line, this is how you must live." And it's just line upon line, law upon law. And you read through this chapter and you realize that God did not want this for the people. He had something better. And it goes to verse 13. But the word of the Lord was upon them, unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Listen to this. Here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. When you live under the law and somebody in the front stand says, "You must do this, you must do that, you can't do this, you can't do that," line upon line, precept upon precept, the people will stumble and fall because they don't know about the grace of God. They don't know who God is. They don't know what God actually wants. And eventually, all the laws and all the things come onto us. And if we don't watch out in our walk with Christ, we can easily fall under the law. There's a very fine line between grace and the law. You can walk in grace one day and you can step over that line and walk as a Pharisee the next day. And a Pharisee is the one that with the laws and the stuff. Then he says, wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. You see, God had an issue with them. Because he have said, we have made a covenant, listen to this, with death and with hell are we at agreement. A covenant with death and hell. What a terrible thing to say. What a terrible thing. But you know what that actually means? A covenant with death means I live the way of the world. I do the things that sinners do. Because the wages of sin is death. So I live like the world lives. I make a covenant with death. If I live like the world lives, then I'll be fine. But God says, you make a covenant with death. And he also says, yeah, and you make a covenant death and with hell. Are we at agreement? He says, yeah, at agreement, death and hell. Can you imagine? Can you imagine making a covenant with death and with hell? Can you imagine if the priests and the leaders, it's not in this church, but you'll see where I'm getting to. Just bear with me. If the leaders start pushing the law to the people and say, oh, it's fine. We have made a covenant with death. We can live like we want. We can act as we want. We have a covenant with hell. We're fine. I know of a church, but it's not a church. I wouldn't call them a church. But they say you can sin as much as you want because you're already forgiven, you know? So, you know, we mustn't think we can go through life and make a covenant with hell and with death. We call it, ek het 'n fout gemaak. I did a sin, Lord. I did something wrong. But God speaks here directly, and he said, if you carry on and on. and listen to this here. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. This is what they say. When the scourge from the Lord comes, it won't touch us. It won't touch us. That's what they say. It shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Lies our refuge. That is most now, and God is nowhere to be seen in that. Is that correct? God hates lies. And falsehood, our refuge, ourselves. The next section is, when the overflowing, they say when the overflowing come, but God says, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goes forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. And then verse 20 says, for the bed is shorter that a man can stretch himself out upon it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. And because of the fruit of their ways, the way they live, the way they operate, they say, no, we will be free, we will be fine. The whole world speaks like that. But you and I both know tonight it's not like that. God says, when it comes, it will overflow everybody that live that way. There's no escape. So now I'd like to go through some of the nicer scriptures. In that chapter, it's actually a wonderful chapter. I mean, it's the most terrible rebukes. You know, it's rebuke after rebuke, and it's threat after threat. It's actually a threat. In my Bible, it says that Ephraim is threatened. God threatens them. Listen to this now. Here's the nicer scriptures. Yeah, he says, in that day shall the Lord of hosts be a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. In that day, a crown of glory God will be. Yeah, he's starting to say to the people, listen, you've got it wrong. God wants to be a crown of glory. He wants to be a diadem. A diadem is a thing that goes in your head. I always see it as a mini crown kind of thing, you know. And unto the residue of the people. Then in verse 9 he says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. He says here, if you live on milk, God cannot teach you wisdom. God cannot teach you doctrine. You must come off the milk and come onto stronger foods, to meats. Moenie 'n baba bly in die Here nie. Come forward and say, Lord, I'm tired of the milk. I want better food. He says, I will teach that person wisdom. Teach that one wisdom. Get strong meat, strong scriptures, doctrines, teachings. There's another one. I love this. To whom he said, this is the rest. Listen to this. This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary. This is to Ephraim now. Where you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. He says this, yet they would not listen. Bear, they would not bear. Yeah, the guy, the prophet is saying, God says to them, this is the rest. This is how you must rest. This is how it must be. And he says, but they would not listen. So what happens? This bed that they talk about, I want to tell you something today. In the 40 years I have of serving the Lord, if you say that bed, God uses it as an instrument of pulling people straight. I want to ask you a question, and I'm sure you will say, yes, Lord. Have you ever been in a situation in your life, in a time period, where you feel, nothing I do works out? Met ander woorde, the bed is too short. I've been there. The blanket is too narrow. When you turn this way, you get cold. You turn that way, your back is cold. Your feet cold. The hangover. Have you been there? I'm going to tell you something. It's private, but I'm going to tell you. My one friend, Pastor Wally, he's passed away. He's a prophet of the Lord. Wonderful man. I said, brother, I'm really under pressure. Can you please help me? Go to the Lord and get a word from the Lord. And please tell me what the Lord says. So he comes back to me and he says, brother, I did pray. He was a very faithful and loyal man. I did pray. He said, and the Lord says, he was Afrikaans, die Here sê, die bed is te kort and die kombers is te small. When he said it to me, I just sat in my car and said, ach, Here, Here. And you know what? That short bed and that narrow blanket didn't stay there for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Stay there for a year or two, 3 years maybe. But these people, yeah, they talk about drink, but actually it's further than that. It's willfulness. It's stubbornness. It's disobedience. It's not listening to the voice of the Lord. You know, it's all these things that all add up. It's not about the alcohol. It's the attitude that was in their heart that led them to drink. That was just the fruit. But the willfulness and the stubbornness and the disobedience towards the word of the Lord, that was the thing. And then after a period of time, I realized, yeah, but I made a mistake. Yeah, I made a mistake there. And you know, I had to repent. I'd say, Lord, really, please forgive me. Forgive me. And then God, in his mercy, he helps. So I want to say to you, you can put your hands up. It'll be interesting to see who has been on that bed in your life. I'm not talking, yeah, everybody. And I want to make a stelling today, vandag. Die bed is te kort en die kombers is te smal. Daai ding moet jy nooit vergeet in jou hele lewe nie. En sê, Here, help my dat ek nie op daai bed beland nie. It's not a spiritual bed, your wedding bed or something. It's a spiritual bed. It's not your wedding bed, your bed you sleep on every night. It's a spiritual bed. You can do what you want. You can maak soos jy wil. Elke keer as jy op daai bed klim, and your feet are going to stick over. Or your blanket is just not going to work. And you might even find yourself in that situation as we speak tonight. You know, and say, Here, ek probeer alles. Lord, I'm trying everything. But it just doesn't want to come right. The bed is too short and the blanket is too narrow, Lord. Listen to this. This is the most wonderful scripture. He said, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And here, this man, the writer Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, introduces Jesus to Ephraim. The way of God, the cornerstone. And you know, the biggest problems that we have in life is because we actually don't give everything to Christ. We don't let the Lord do it for us. You know, we always want to interfere, you know. I was speaking to a Christian in the week,
And he said to me, he said, you know, Graham, when I pray and I'm feeling down in the dumps, and it was so nice when I heard him say this. He said, I feel down in the dumps. I just pray and I say, oh, Lord, I'm just going to lean on you a little bit if you don't mind. And he says, then I lean on the Lord. And he says, 2-3 days later, it's all sorted out. I'm just going to lean on you a little bit, Lord. Listen to this. Judgments also will I lay to the line, the line for building, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and water shall overflow the hiding place. And he says here, and your covenant with death and hell shall be disannulled. Jesus, he's saying that the chief cornerstone and judgment and righteousness will be introduced. And that's actually the answer to the guy lying on that bed. The chief cornerstone, when you build, take note of the chief cornerstone. You can't build a proper wall without an excellent cornerstone. And that's the answer to the guy lying on the bed. That's your answer, how to get out of that narrowness. But because they were willful and strong-minded and disobedient and doing their own thing and, you know, taking the Lord in a manner that is like, I want to say, lightly, then that is where you end up in that bed. And I want to tell you, when I was on that narrow bed, I lived in Umhlanga in a big house. I rode a fancy car, and I slept on a big bed, but I was still on that narrow bed. That was nog steeds smal, you know. And try as you might, it doesn't go away. I think, this is my own opinion, I think it's an instrument of God, actually, that he uses. I mean, virtually everybody put their hands up here tonight. I think it's God that does something. And you know, I believe tonight that the Lord wants to help us, those that are caught in that, to set us free. And I'm going to read the last verse, and I'm just going to go over to one other passage in the Bible. For God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. Yea, he comes and he says, okay, you've done it your way now. Let me teach you. Let me show you how it's done. Let me instruct you in the way that you must go. For the fitches, this is about agriculture. It's obviously to farmers. Fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument. Neither is a cart wheel turned upon the common. But the fitches are beaten out with a staff, and they come in with a rod. Bread corn is bruised and carries on. But at the end, the last verse, he says, this also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. If you want to get out of that narrowness, then we have to come to God to give us counsel and to give us direction and to give us teaching so that we can learn the way that we should go. We should never, I'm 63, and we should never, ever think we know it all. We always have to humble ourselves and go before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. Please help me. We have skills to a certain level, but beyond that, we need Jesus. I'd like to ask you to go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Now, these guys, you know, when that guy was on that bed and that narrowness was there, there was no rest. Do you agree? When you're on that narrow bed, daar's nie rus vir jou nie. Stem jy saam? Jy word wakker in die nag. En jy sê, ach, Here. Jy gaan badkamer toe en jy kyk in die spieël en jy sê, ach, Here. Jy eet jou kos. Jy sê, ach, Here. Ach, Here, sien nie ons raak. Weet jy, waar is ek? Ken jy nog my naam, Here? Al die goed, jy weet, wat die evangelie mense doen. Lord, do you know my name? Lord, is there not a prophet in South Africa that can send me a message? Ach, Here, asseblief. Hey, ek ken al die goed. Ek was baie deur hierdie goed. Jy moet nie dink ek preek net hier. Ek preek hier omdat ek was deur dit. I know what I'm talking about. Chapter 4, verse 1. And this is where it gets interesting. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. And I can almost say it did not profit Ephraim, did not profit them, but not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, He also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, beloved, I know this is tough scriptures, but it's not aimed at any person in the church. I'm trying to get something across to you that I believe the Holy Spirit wants the church to accept and know and understand. And also, I think, to set the captives free. You know, these guys of Ephraim, they were full of unbelief. They didn't listen to what Isaiah said to them. They didn't practice what he was telling them how to live. They lived their own way. They made their own decisions. They did their own thing. Okay, so they now went into drink. But I'm not talking about just drink. It can be anything. But they were stubborn and they were willful. And what happened? The rest was taken away. You can't sleep on a bed that is too short for you. You can't sleep if you don't have a covering, except especially if it's not in winter, you know. It's really something. And there's nothing that focuses the mind more than when you enter into this narrow space, you know. It's God's way of changing us. God's way of getting our attention. He has many ways to get our attention, but this is one of the ways. And the bed is too short, and the blanket is too narrow. And here we come to Hebrews, and I think that Paul that writes, he says, we must work to enter into the rest. I think of the Jews in Egypt. They were in slavery. And I can tell you now, I guarantee it, even although they were God's people, they were slaves. The situation that they were in, I can tell you, was a place of narrowness. Their beds weren't like our beds. They would sleep on straw beds. The beds would definitely be too narrow. Their blankets would definitely be too short and too narrow. Definitely. That's the life they lived. But God looked down on them and he said, I'm going to send you a deliverer and I'm going to take you out of Egypt. God was tired of it. God was tired of his people sleeping on beds that were too short for them. Tired of having blankets that were too narrow for them. Tired of not having rest, waking up in the morning and their slave masters whipping them, making them work. Difficult conditions. And God said, I'm going to take them to a place of rest. Do you see where I'm coming with this now? These people, through their stubbornness, their unwillingness to learn, their unwillingness to understand, their unwillingness to obey God, they couldn't enter into the rest of the Lord. And here Paul writes and he says, let us fear, therefore, that we do not fail in this matter. God took them out and into the desert. So, you know, I don't think the beds were much better there. But at least they were free of slavery. But God said, I'm taking to the promised land, a place of milk and honey, a place where you will live in houses that you did not build and that you will eat from vines that you did not plant, a place of blessing and a place of rest, beloved. And I want to tell you, you and I today, we are on that pathway to the place of rest with God. Jesus, when he says at the judgment day, what does he say to the people? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the rest of your Lord. That is where we are headed. That is where we are headed. So we have to be careful that we don't end up in this bed that's on the screen here, that was here. That we don't end up through the way we live, through the stubbornness, through the fighting, the unreasonableness, not listening. We've got to be careful of that. And you know what, I want to say this to you. You might not like what I'm going to say, but if you're on that bed currently, you've really got to stand still and say, Yira, Lord, teach me. Teach me, Lord. Show me what I'm doing wrong. Show me so that I can come free of this. Otherwise, how long are you going to lie on that bed? God's got a lot of time. We don't have a lot of time. You know, I lay on that bed there in Umhlanga, in the middle of wealth. I lay there and ek sê vir jou, ek het links gedraai en my rug koud gekry. Ek het regs gedraai, my rug koud gekry. Dan trek ek die ding vir my bene om my voete toe te maak, dan kry my borskas koud. Dan trek ek dit weer op, dan kry my voete koud. There's no way you can get out of that, you know. And it's not a nice place to be. And beloved, we all, to a certain degree, we all have that thing somewhere in our life doing something. But the issue here is this, that Paul says we must fight, we must work to enter into the rest. And the Jews, they were in the desert. And, you know, they didn't listen to God. They moaned about the water. They moaned about meat. Eventually, they built a golden calf. Then they said, no, let's go back to Egypt. You know? And we know how that turned out for them, eh? They come to the Jordan River the very day that God wants to send them in. They go, Joshua. Joshua and them, Caleb, they come back. They say, the Lord has delivered. Others say, no, there's giants. They say, no, we're not going in. And you know, they get into a situation. Vachotse, akvo, ma yevoni. Toe sê hulle, ja, ek sal gaan. Ons sal gaan. Hy sê, nee, nou wil julle gaan, maar ek wil nie. Jy weet? I wanted you to go, and you said no. Now you want to go, but I'm saying no. And the end result, beloved, that they all died in the desert. Their children went into the promised land. This is an exceptionally difficult topic to talk about, but if you can remember the bed is too short and the blanket is too narrow, that should spur you on. Here ek wil regkom. Here ek wil my lewe regmaak. I want to live a better life, Lord. I want more teaching. I want more understanding from you. We are heading towards the rest of God. We must enter in, beloved. We haven't entered in yet. We're sitting here tonight and none of us. There is a rest because we come to a place of trust. You know, as you grow older in the Lord, you come to a place of trust and you say, Here, my life is an Ianda. But it's a wrestle. I mean, the devil says to you, Ach, man, yes. You know, the devil always tries to say something to you as a child of God. He tries to bring you to a place of doubt. He tries to bring you to a place of unbelief. He wants to get you out of the rest. He wants you back on that short bed. That's where he wants you. But the good news is, my friend, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and he died for you and for me, that we can have this eternal rest. We have an opportunity. It's been given to us. We must attain it. We go forward, and we go forward. We go forward until the day when the day of judgment, and Christ stands up, and they call out our names one by one. It says, come forward. Is his name in the book of life? Yes, it is, Lord, says to you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the rest of your Lord. That is it. That is the final point of our destination for eternity. Everything in between is just there to help us to get to that point. Or we don't find your name in the book. You know, can you imagine? Let us be motivated, beloved. If that bed is in your life, let us be motivated to get rid of it. And the only way we can truly do that is if we confess it out. And we say, Lord, forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. Those Ephraim people, they had to confess out the drinking. They had to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Through drinking, we've been willful. We've made a covenant with the world. We've been in the world. We haven't worried about the preachers that say the hell is op pad. Hell is on the way. They laugh at you. You know, I preached there in Worcester, in a tent. There were about 500, maybe 600 people in a colored town. And I preached there and I preached and the Lord said to me, stop the service. And he said, you see that man standing at the back? He stood right at the back by the entrance and he leant against the pole. He said, tell him that tonight he must repent. So I stopped the service. I said, I'm very sorry. Let me just... And I said, sir, he says, ek. Ek sê, ja, jy. I said, die Here sê vir jou, dat vanaand is jou kans. Vanaand moet jy die Here aanneem. He said, ek. Ek sê, ja, jy. Hy maak so. He went like this with his hand. He says, pah. So I carried on preaching. And the Lord said to me a second time, stop the service and tell that man. He's got one chance tonight. He must serve me tonight. This is his chance. So I stopped the service and I said, I'm very sorry. Sir, yeah, said, die Here say, tonight is your last chance. Tonight you must take chance and give your heart to Christ. And again he said, ach man, you bet. And I stopped that service, I think it was about 5 times, maybe even 7. And the last time he said, nee man, los mei. That was the Saturday night. I went back to Durban, and the pastor that had the campaign called me. He said, brother, broer, onthou jy daai man wat jy so voor geprofeteer het? Ek sê, ja. Hy sê, ek kom van die tronk af. Ek sê, en hy sê, hy sit agter die tralies. En ek sê, en toe, hoe is dit so? Hy sê, broer, daai man is soos 'n wilde dier. Man wat gesê het, poeh, so 'n wilde dier. Ek sê, wat het gebeur? Hy sê, nee, hy het gewerk onder sy kar. En die klein 4-jarige dogtertjie kom na hom toe en sê, papa, papa, jy moet kom eet. Papa, papa, kom eet. En hy sê, los my. Papa, papa, kom eet. Hy klim onder daai kar uit en hy vat 'n byl en sy kap sy eie dogter mors dood langs sy kar. The effect of that, die mense van daai veldtog, hy sê, broer, hy sê die mense hardloop in die strate en skreeu, God het met daai man gepraat. Hy sê, hier tot in Kaappunt, sê hy. When God speaks, we mustn't just push it one side. God is very serious about the afterlife. God is serious about our salvation, beloved. Serious. And we must enter into the rest. Ons moet van hierdie bed, wat so nou is, so kort is, en die kombers, wat so smal is, ons moet opstaan, en ons moet daai kombers buite toe vat en gaan brand. Ons moet daai bed vat en stikkend oprek in stukkies, en sê, nooit weer sal ek op hierdie ding lewe nie, en ek sal stap, I will walk in faith with God. Until, even if I have to sleep on the floor, it's fine. At least it's longer and broader. But I'm not going to sleep on this bed any longer. And you have to stand up and take God at His word. Because it says here, they couldn't enter into the rest because of what? Because of their unbelief. The ongeloof. Because of their unbelief. And because of the unbelief of the people from Ephraim, Isaiah spoke to them. They ended up in that bed. We have to stand up, beloved. We have to know who Jesus Christ is. Hallelujah. We have to know what God intends with us as people. We must know that. Opstaan and say, hierdie bed, Here, ek is klaar met dit. It's like saying, Lord, I'm finished with drink. Lord, I'm finished with stealing. Ek is klaar daarmee. That is what we have to do. You cannot lie on that short bed and pull the blanket up and then pull it down. And pull it right. You can pull that blanket as much as you want, and you can roll around on that bed as much as you want. Your feet are going to stick out, and half of you is going to get cold. It's not going to change. We have to get up off that bed and say, Here, tot here to, and nie verder nie. Here, it is my skuld that I could be better, but no more, Lord. I'm sorry. I apologize. Break up the bed. Burn the blankets. And even if you sleep on the floor, you know, I know a mighty preacher. I preached with him. You know what he said to me? He preached up in Africa, and we had campaigns together with my tent. He used to come preach there. He said to me, brother, he said, things went very bad for me and my wife. He said, we ended up sleeping on the floor in a shack in Soweto for 6 months. He says, that's where we slept. He said, and we decided that we will not complain, but we will sleep on the floor. Hallelujah. And he said, and after 6 months, God raised them up and helped them. Sometimes God tests us in situations that we don't want to be tested by. But God does it anyway, because He knows the end of that, you're going to be stronger, you're going to be wiser, you're going to have more understanding, you'll have the fear of God, you'll have teaching. Yeah, in that scripture with Ephraim, Isaiah 28, God even taught them how to plow, how to plant, how to work with the produce of the land. He taught them. They did it their own way. And because of that, they ended up on this bed. Did he know, Becky? Okay, die tijd is, daar is nog een paar minuten. Is daar mense vanaand wat voel? Ondersoek jou hart. As jy sukkel en sê, Here, dit sukkel. Dit is bietjie moeilik. Sukkel. Dan wil ek 'n tydjie gee dat jy kan vorentoe kom. Moenie, do not write this off. Do not say, ach, you know, this is an opportunity. An opportunity where God is saying, listen, get up off that bed. Let it change. Break the bed. Tear up the blanket. Work hard to enter into the rest of the Lord. Beloved, and the Jews came to the Jordan River. And you know what happened eventually, the second generation. They crossed over. They believed God. And they went forward and they took the land city by city. This is what God wants. He wants us to have a victory. But sometimes a victory, you have to go through like Joseph, through the prison cell. Sometimes like a victory, you have to go and sleep in a shack in Soweto. Sometimes you have to sleep on the floor. But wherever you sleep, do not sleep on that narrow bed of punishment. That short bed and that narrow blanket. Don't sleep there. Get up off it. And I'm not saying anybody in this church is sleeping on this bed. But I'm saying to you tonight, if you have things in your life and you feel, Lord, I want to pray. I want to ask that you will change this. When we prayed here tonight, Stefan said he saw a white sheet coming out of heaven. And I went to the bathroom and I thought, Lord, what's this white sheet about? And you know what I felt? It's wider than the narrow blanket. So I honestly believe that tonight, something wider that God wants to give to his people. Something better, beloved.